Before I get started today, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. Her work involves not only a specialized focus on TMS, but also helping clients transform important aspects of life that feel stuck or overwhelming, such as career, relationships, weight issues, confidence, purpose, life stressors, you name it. You'll find her to be compassionate, action-oriented, and results-driven, all the things you need in a coach to create meaningful change. Her holistic approach will help you make the changes that are important to you, and you'll walk away feeling empowered to continue to create the life that you want. One of the things that make Jeannie a terrific coach is that she's been in the trenches with her own health challenges, completely overwhelming fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue that left her physically and mentally depleted. Simply put, she gets it. After healing herself completely, Jeannie is now laser focused on delivering fast results through her one-on-one coaching program to her clients. This includes weekly support, consistency, and accountability. The best part about working with Jeannie is that she takes the stress out of the process. There's a whole lot of resources out there. She creates a customized plan with tools and strategies that align with your individual lifestyle. I encourage you to book a free 45-minute call to learn about her one-on-one coaching program so that you can focus on fast-tracking results. If you work with Jeannie, you'll embark on a transformative path where obstacles are overcome and breakthroughs become the norm. Go to jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieColwin.com, to book your free call today. Welcome back. It is August the 10th. I've been away for a couple of weeks, and I am ready to be home for a few weeks. And actually, 1 month from today, as I record this, which is the 9th, I'll be out of the country again for a week. So, and then I'll be home for a while, several months. And you know, you miss your own bed. And I'll tell you, like, one of the things that I miss the most when I'm away for even more than just a couple of days is just my shower, right? Like the water pressure that you have, the heat that it can generate, like all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of bad showers out there. And it's something that you don't think about until you're away from it for a little while. So that's the kind of stuff that comes to mind for me and that I think of. Okay. Before we get to today's show, I did want to give a shout out to the patrons of the podcast. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. Throw a few bucks in the tip jar. Help keep this thing on the air and available for everybody. Teresa, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Daniel, Emily, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Michael, Mike, Christina, Ross, Julie, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the podcast every single month, week, year. It means the world, honestly. Okay, so we had great last couple of weeks of episodes. Dr. John Strax, he was fantastic. It was really nice to be able to have this in-depth conversation with him. I saw a shout-out that was on Nicole Sachs's Facebook group, which was cool to see. You know, people from around the world are listening to it. And he's an intelligent guy, and I hope to have him back someday. And I think that would be awesome. But I thought that, so again, today as I record this is August 9th. I thought that today's episode would be super cool to go back almost exactly 5 years ago to the day. On August 8th, 2018, Jeanette Barber joined the show. And if you don't know who Jeanette Barber is, she was part of that original 2020 story on Dr. Sarno. I think she was the executive producer for Rosie O'Donnell's show in the 1990s and had a really miraculous recovery story. I love hearing Jeanette. I love talking to Jeanette. And I think that you're really going to dig this. I was debating between this one or Dr. David Schechter, and I think I'm going to re-air Dr. David Schechter in a couple of weeks. But for this week, let's sit back and listen to 5 years ago, Jeanette Barber and I talking about her awesome recovery story. A lot of people that are listening to this are going to know exactly who you are. And actually, I interviewed a psychotherapist from the Northeast named Nicole Sachs. I don't know if you're do you know Nicole?
I actually don't. I recently met her via maybe it was, it doesn't matter, one of the social media things.
And
just found out about her. So and she was fascinated.
Yeah, so she did some training under Sarno, and she was one of the people that was getting referrals to him, and she brought you up on the show about how, like, you know, it's been 19 years since that story aired and that you're still so well known in the community, but a lot of people don't know all the other things that you've been doing for the last 20 years, right? To give the listeners a little bit of backstory, so Jeanette Barber, she's worked on a variety of shows, but the kind of the main one that she was known for when this 2020 episode aired was on her work on the Rosie O'Donnell show. So she was a producer there, won several Emmy Awards, and then she had a show on the Food Network, and then she was a writer on The View. And then she appeared on Showtime Comedy Club, VH1, A&E, and she's also done some great humanitarian stuff as well. But let's back up, if we can close our eyes and take us back to the mid to late 90s. You're on this, you get called to do, well, let's back up even further. Okay, so you were in a wheelie cart. That's what I think of when I think of you. How did this all start? How did you get in the cart? This was 20 years ago. You were a lot younger then. All the physical issues, kind of run me through what kind of where you got from you know, where you were previously to being in pain all the time.
So it was actually, it was in August of 1995. We want to go back to the dark ages, but I was, I say I was running around the reservoir in New York, but that's a lie. I was walking quickly and, you know, but running sounds better. So I go there.
Yeah.
And my ankle started to hurt, like right, by the ankle bone in that soft spot, you know, above the heel, as if it was the size of a quarter and it just started to hurt. And this pain over the next 3 years was going to grow and grow and grow. By the time, and I went to doctor after doctor. By the time I got to the Rosie O'Donnell show, within about 6 months of that, I was wrapping my ankles in ACE bandages every day so I could stand the pain of getting from my desk to the studio. Doctor after doctor, I was told all the time tendonitis and given anti-inflammatories. And after a couple of weeks, the doctor would go, huh. And I actually got to, whenever I heard, huh, it was time to move on to another doctor. Because they weren't going to come up with anything other than, I still think I'm right. I did physical therapy twice a week for a couple of years, which is very time consuming when you're also doing 70 hours a week in daytime television. At one point, I went to a doctor. I can't remember his name because I would most certainly out him. But whatever his name is, he was a sports medicine doctor and worked for one of the big football teams. So I'm desperate now, and I'm thinking, he does the Giants. He'll be better for me. He talked to me for 5 minutes. Told me that I probably wouldn't walk again, so I should get used to this. And then he directed me which direction to walk to pay the bill. I'm in my early 40s, and I'm told I'm not going to walk again. And I told Rosie. Rosie, not only did I work for Rosie O'Donnell, I am still friends with her. But I was a stand-up comic, and I met her, and she's wonderful. And she had said at one point, maybe I should put you on the show. And I'm going, well, let me see if I can find out. You know, about, I was on the show anyway, but about this pain thing. And then at some point in probably 98, so I'd had this now for quite some time, and the pain was just getting worse and worse until finally, because at first I would still take a cab to work, but then it hurt so much I couldn't stand long enough to get the 15 minutes it would take to get a cab at, you know, right outside 30 Rock. I couldn't take that pain. We were in LA. I couldn't walk from the studio to the venue at, I think it was Universal that time. I couldn't take how much it hurt. That's when I got the wheelie cart. And I loved it when Judy Gold put an FDR sign on the back of her wheelie. So that was fun. But when I came back to work, it was season three. When I came back to work, I could no longer walk at all. And I'm in this wheelie cart. And at this point, not depression as in what depression means. It's not that, but bummed. Incredibly unhappy because I've now put on 50 pounds. I'd already lost a lot of weight. So I have 50 pounds extra back on me. And the pain is now not just when I'm standing. The pain is always there. The pain is all that exists. And one day, in September, I rolled into Rosie's office looking like I'd been beaten. And I said, if you still want to do it, maybe now would be a good time, because I felt like I was giving up. And she'd always been ready, because she is that kind of a person. And she put me in a segment which we called Fix Jeanette, and asked people, because I had even been to a faith, I'd been to every single thing I could come up with. She had given me as a gift kinesiology. We'd tried everything.
Yeah.
And so I was on the show, and we got thousands of letters, because that show was so big. And I started to build a little file. Everybody had lots of ideas, but people were asking, had I heard of Dr. John Sarno? And at this point, it was just a file that I was starting to put together. And then the moment was a man named Tony Schwartz, who was a very well-known writer. He had worked on a book with Michael Eisner at the time, who had been on the show, and that's why he was watching. And he called the segment producer for that show about his book, and he said, I saw this about your producer, Jeanette. He then called me, and he told me about Dr. John Sarno. And I said, oh, people have been writing about that. But he really told me what it was about and, you know, said I should call Dr. Sarno. So I called. And Dr. Sarno didn't treat people until he talked to them. And he says to me, he goes, he said, can you accept the idea that you could be somatizing the pain? Somatizing is meaning, could have looked this up before we came on, but it means that what you think in your mind can be expressed physically. And I went, oh my God, my therapist says that to me every time I get a head cold. So I had no trouble believing, you know, I'm a person that can believe in the tooth fairy. So as I get older, I'm hoping for more money. Yeah. But and so he said, in this phone call, without having seen me, just from the conversation he had, he then said 2020 was going to be doing a story on TMS and his treatment. Would I be willing to be a part of that? Now, still knowing so little in my head, I just thought, if it's on TV, he'll try harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and that's how the 2020 piece came about. But then, his treatment at the time was he started out as an orthopedic surgeon, as I'm sure you know, and he began to discover that some people with bulging disc had pain, some people did not. Some people with spinal stenosis had pain, some people did not. So he began to think that either something causes pain or it doesn't. But before he put you in his TMS treatment, he did an examination to make sure that he believed you had it. And he asked questions about, you know, how much of a perfectionist I was, about my personality, things about my childhood. He said that he was certain that I had TMS, and the treatment was as simple as a lecture of a group of people that he was going to treat. And he called it two. It was, in my opinion, it was one with a break, and because it happened in one night. And this man had so much integrity that he wouldn't let them come in and tape until after. He wanted nothing in the way of your recovery. So bottom line, I had been in pain for over 3 years. I had been in the wheelchair for 6 months. I had been told I wouldn't walk again. I had been told I had double tendons and surgery would fix it, which I didn't take. And 2 weeks later, I was lumbering up a mountain path in Vermont, pain-free.
Yeah, that is amazing. You know, so many people, he's a legend, right? Like the entire reason that this podcast exists, and now it's getting downloaded in 19 different countries, and it's getting, you know, thousands of listens a month. And I'm talking to everybody, like I interview surgeons, I interview psychotherapists, I interview athletes, like, and just the reach that the guy has is really pretty amazing. Walk us through, like, there's only been, I think, you're the third person that's been examined by Sarno that has been on the show. But nobody's ever talked about what entails when you walk into that office and you do the physical examination, meaning he's ruling out that there's something greater going on. Tell me what that is like.
Well, what was different from other doctors was simply the amount of time he was willing to take and the amount of compassion the man had. And yet, he was a dry little guy. He was, and I say little because he was a small man. He was, you know, he walked to work, he exercised, he was a small guy. And and he was not a charismatic Svengali type. He was just a guy. He looked at my MRIs and x-rays, because I'd had everything done, so I brought it with me. One interesting thing I remember is he pushed on the outside of my thighs, and that's always more painful. And he said he didn't know why, but often people with TMS would have sensitivity there. I remember that standing out. The hammer on the knees, and he did all of the normal things that happen when you go into a doctor for an examination, checking bones, checking x-rays, checking MRIs. And he said from his observation, there's nothing that should have been causing this pain.
Did you get any indication of if he would have found something on the physical examination, what it would have been? Like, what would have made him maybe raise eyebrows and say, maybe there is something bigger going on? Is there anything that he even talked about to you about that?
No, he didn't. I think it would be, I remember, because then Rosie would always have me talk to anybody that, you know, was in the audience that that had pain, and I would give the book, and so many people would, because we had the books there, because he gave them to us, and so many people would call me back going, by the way, I'm out of pain. There was one woman, though, that was walking between cars, and the car took a lurch and crushed her legs, and she was in pain. That's not TMS.
Right. Right, that's car MS.
Right, exactly. So when it's something, when it's something like that, if he had seen something, I know he would have said something. I now sound like a subway ad in New York City about terrorism. So, because that's what they say here. But there wasn't anything that was abnormal. I mean, mine was just pain in my ankle.
Yeah, so describe that pain. I mean, is it like, because the different, you know, how people classify pain, like Steve Ozanich wrote a book.
I love him.
Yeah, I love him too. And his show is, or the show that I did with him back in January is in the top five of downloaded episodes every month. It doesn't matter what month it is, right? So like he's timely all the time, but people describe their different types of pain to him, and they'll use, you know, buzzing, clenching, grinding, electricity. Like describe the feeling in your ankles when it was at its worst.
Mine at its worst, it was like a hot quarter had been placed right above my heel in that soft plate, and it was burning and burning. It was a very sore burn. And when it got really bad, it would then start going down the foot and into the heel. And it hurt as that pain grew from the smaller amount when I first got it. It would be like, you want to go out, you know, with a friend, you know, you want to go someplace tonight. Well, I got to walk 10 blocks. No, I'm not going. And he explained that in that lecture, the more you change your life to accommodate the pain, the greater the pain will grow. And I really have a very low pain threshold. I can't stand pain, which is also I have heard a common thread between, TMS, people. If I've got pain, it's all I can think about. So the bottom of the foot, I couldn't touch it. I couldn't think until the very last months. If I wasn't standing, it wasn't that bad. So it just made it so I couldn't do anything. But then it started to, as I said earlier, it started to just hurt in this sore burn all the time.
How much would you estimate that you spent dollar wise in your, basically all the way up until you found Dr. Sarno?
I would say I had insurance, so I didn't have to pay all of this, but I would say it was about $100,000, because I've added that up in the past, about $100,000, to perpetuate my pain.
And what were some of the more frequent, because I'm sure, like, you know, I saw 25 medical specialists, and there was one in particular diagnosis that maybe three or four of them had in common. But outside of that, it was all across the board. Was there any like prevailing diagnosis from several of these doctors or specialists that would say, Jeanette, you have X and here's how we fix it?
All of them, except for one, said it was tendonitis.
What did the other one say?
That was the guy who said that it was that I had double tendons. So where some people have one, I have two in both of my ankles, and he would cut and he would cut one of them out. And I said to him, I said, well, the only thing is, if I have double tendons, I didn't just grow them. So I've always had them. So why would it hurt now? And what are my other options before surgery? And this person, I'm still so angry. And he goes, well, I can't think of any. And I said, thank you so much, hung up. And the punchline I used for quite some time was apparently he was looking to buy another boat.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, there was a, so what you're talking about, the double tendon thing, like that's, I don't want to say that it's uncommon, but everybody's got something, right? Like I remember I was told by a doctor that I had an extra muscle in my neck where the nerves and the arteries were coming out. So maybe consider getting that removed at some point. And I was like, okay, but if I was born with it, like, and it's just starting now, you know, that doesn't make any sense. And Howard Stern, so there was a movie, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called All the Rage, and it came out couple of years ago, but it was about Dr. Sarno's life, and that's where the large portion of it was. Howard Stern was interviewed for this, and one of the things that he was told is that you had, like, you were born with extra stuff basically in your shoulder, and but his thought was, okay, but that doesn't really explain why it would have started hurting, you know, when I was 40 or 45, or when people were telling me that I was only going to last a year in radio, and I was just so down on myself about, you know, about where my career was going. Like, it's like, that doesn't explain, like, me getting it, you know, being born with it or whatever. So I hear you when you say that.
And it's so tragic because so many people, and I mean by the tens of thousands, are getting unnecessary surgeries that, that you know, had the placebo effect of now it doesn't hurt for 6 months and then it hurts again. And people in pain because they cannot accept that diagnosis. I've met so many people where they get mad. No, that's other people, but mine is real. All of our pain is real. Mine was totally real, but I was able to get rid of it. And people, it saddens me how many people don't, they would rather keep the pain.
Yeah. You know, I handed my, my mother, you know, once you've kind of gone through this, correct me if this is not you, but I have an inclination that it will be, but once you kind of go through it and then you're cured, right. You sort of armchair quarterback and look at everybody in your life and you're like, that person's got it. That person's got it. That person's got it.
Absolutely. We're right most of the time, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, well, totally. Well, Michael Galinsky, the guy who made All the Rage, the filmmaker for it, when I interviewed him, he had said that he doesn't even call it TMS. He doesn't call it the mind-body syndrome. He calls it the syndrome of being human, really. Like, that's what it is. Yeah, you know, for Mother's Day, I handed my mom two of Dr. Sarno's books, and like she knew about like my rapid turnaround, because for me it was like I was a competitive weightlifter, and then this stuff started, and then I completely had given up weightlifting for 7 months. Like, not I worked through the pain for about 6 months, and then I was like, this isn't worth it. I'm just going to step away and go and find a bunch of doctors, and that's and I'm not going to stop seeing doctors until this is fixed. And then I read Sarno's book, and the next day I was back in the weight room and doing what I loved again. And she, you know, she knew that I had this rapid turnaround, but we never really got into details about what, you know, what it was about, like what was the genesis of it. And for Mother's Day this year, I handed her two of his books, and she, without even looking at them, she said, you know, my pain is real. Like, that was the response.
Yeah. And they don't understand. That's the, you know, it's not like our pain wasn't real. Everyone that has experienced TMS pain, the pain is real. The pain is physical, but the trigger and the control is emotional.
So that's a good point. So there was a really good quote that you had towards the end of you're very witty, by the way. Even in the 2020 story, that's not designed to be witty. But there was one line that every time I watch it, I laugh as if I saw it for the first time. But you had said that you came in and they told you that you had to work Sundays in your ankle cert for 3 days, and that you must be testy, right? So what are some of the triggers, like looking back, armchair quarterbacking yourself, like what are some of the triggers and personality traits for you that really led to your pain?
I think, perfectionism, I think is, one for me. And I think a lot about this, an ability to go into denial and not see what's right there in front of my face.
Give me an example.
Well, this ridiculously horrific relationship that I was in, now when you, after 20 years, I go, oh my God, because I realized, and there's no interesting point about any of what those details were, but I realized that the it was a lie from the day, from the beginning. And because some people will go, oh my God, this pain problem, it started right when you started the Rosie O'Donnell show. What did she do? Well, she saved me. That's what she did. She made it so that I can walk again. But what also happened was I met that person.
Yeah.
Right at the same time. And I think that I didn't want to see that. I don't want to see if somebody, I don't like to see if something's not honest. I don't want to see if something's not real. So, and I can name other instances with people where I have done that. So I go into denial about what is obvious and is in the nose in front of my face. And I think that that mechanism is the mechanism of TMS, because what Dr. Sarna used to say is, if you can, and I don't know that this is across the board true, but you know, if you go, oh my God, you know, I'm in pain, and man, I am really angry at such and such, and the cable company just, you know, ticked me off, then that's not it, because TMS is not about the emotion that you know about; it's the emotion that you don't want to know about. It's TMS is fueled by the secret you are keeping from yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Nicole Sachs, I brought her up earlier, like she saw Sarno. So she saw Sarno in the beginning when she first started having pain. She got relieved of that pain, and then it came back with a vengeance. And she sort of sat there like, okay, what is it? Like, I thought that I solved this problem. And in her book, and she's so vulnerable, and I just think the world of her, and she's helped us, my wife and I, with a problem with our kids. And, like, you know, she's been wonderful. We've never met in person, right? This is all over the phone and doing this show together. But she did a video on this as well on YouTube that has a bazillion hits, but that she sort of came to terms with the fact that, like, motherhood hasn't been all that it's cracked up to be for her. And that mm-hmm. she felt like it was going to be, you know, princess dresses and everything was going to be perfect and the kids would listen all the time. And then, you know, as she says, I discovered that they're just little people with little personalities. And that was a huge part of the problem for her. And I just feel I'm totally with you. Like, that's just one thing that I struggled with a lot. I think for the longest time was just, okay, I've got these things in my life that, you know, I just couldn't admit to myself that I didn't love every little bit of fatherhood or being a husband or my job or whatever the case is. But then once I read Sarno's book, it was almost like a surrender, right? Okay, you got me. And then I got back to doing what I love again.
Yeah, I had things in my childhood. I came from a very dark background. And, you know, you don't want to walk around going, poor me. So instead, I walked around reinventing that everything was fine. Now, everything is fine, but it doesn't mean that stuff didn't happen. So I think denial is my biggest TMS trigger. But a lot of it, I don't know. And I think this is, Dr. Sarno said that you don't have to know what happened. You don't have to know what you don't want to see. You don't ever have to see it. You just have to know that that is what's causing it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, with that being said, like, there's plenty of people, you know, I'm a part of some of these TMS, like, support groups on Facebook, and I'm pretty vocal in them, and like, a lot of people just kind of get stuck. It's like either they get a reduction in pain, let's say 50%, and then they kind of get stuck there. Some people get as high as 85 or 90% better, but like, it's just, they're not there. And then some people just don't even budge. I guess now, looking back all these years, where are people getting stuck? Like, what do you think are maybe one or two reasons that people are getting stuck and the things that they could do to probably help?
I think they're stuck in their percentage of belief. I think that they are 90% certain that it's TMS. That 10% is left is going to hurt. You for me, I'm also a little bit of a hypochondriac. I'm always thinking I'm going to die. It's ridiculous. As long as I think that there is any chance, the slightest, teeny, eensiest bit of a chance that there is a reason other than TMS, I'm going to be stuck in that. So I'm pain-free for 14 years, and then I had a recurrence. Now, this, I didn't recognize it as a recurrence. I wore a pair of barefoot shoes. You know, the
Vibram five-finger ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had torn, this has nothing to do with it, I had a torn ACL. And in the physical therapy for that, and you know, that's just an ACL, I did hear the physical therapist saying to someone else in the room, that barefoot shoes can be a problem. But, you know, and that little key, so I wear the barefoot shoes on a Thursday, and then the arch of my left foot starts to hurt. Now I'm in pain. Look what I've better. You knew better than to wear those shoes, but you had to do it. So now my foot hurts, and it hurts, and it hurts. So I go to a podiatrist, and he looks at my foot. Now, only my left foot hurt when I went into the thing. And he looks at my foot, and he goes, aha, yep, definitely, this is plantar fasciitis. By the time I got off the table, my right foot hurt. Now, that should have twigged this is TMS, but it didn't. Now I'm riddled with plantar fasciitis. Oh, my God. And I have to go back to physical therapy. And I go to physical therapy for a few weeks, and nothing is helping. And I, to quote Stephen Ray Ozanich's book, The Great Pain Deception, which I love, he has a phrase in there, and he said, TMS overplayed its hand. Well, after a couple of weeks, it overplayed its hand because one day, instead of just my arch hurting, the pain radiated up into my ankle, and I felt that same pain. And I went, oh, my God, this is TMS.
Okay, so before we continue with Jeanette, I want to come back and tell you about Lisa Schlossberg. She's been on the podcast a few times. She's wonderful. She's a trauma-informed holistic health coach, social worker, personal trainer, and yoga teacher who supports emotional eaters and chronic dieters around the world to achieve mind, body, soul, health, and wholeness. Holistic healing techniques helped Lisa understand how her own lifelong morbid obesity and irritable bowel syndrome were both physical symptoms of psychological stress, unexpressed emotion, and unprocessed trauma. She lost and maintained 150 pounds for more than a decade by healing her relationship with food, through emotional healing, somatic experiencing, mindset shifts, and more. Lisa's mission is now to help people around the world overcome similar struggles by supporting them through the process of healing. She's got this 14-week group coaching program. It's transformational, designed to empower you with skills, tools, education, and support you need to use your struggle with food and body as a path to mind, body, soul alignment, as you can embody a life of freedom. Designed for anyone who struggles with disordered eating habits, this holistic trauma-informed curriculum is designed to support participants in understanding how they got here, how to get out, and how to maintain it. This strengths-based program is rooted in the belief that using food to cope is a valid method of managing stress, coping with emotion, and regulating energy, and that it is possible to sustainably heal from the inside and out. Check the show notes for her website, outofthecave.health/work-with-me to learn more. And you'll also be able to find the link to past podcasts that Lisa and I have done together. Let's get back to Jeanette and I. So this is 2012, 2013, right? To make sure I got the timeline right.
Yes, that it was 2012. It was 2012 because I was still on Sirius XM at the time, and I had not read Stephen Ray Ozanich's book yet. I'd not read that. I had it. It ended up at my show somehow, and I had it with me. And so that when I realized that my foot was TMS, I started reading The Great Pain Deception at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was had about 80% of the pain gone. Then I believed 80%, and that's the only one that took me a couple of months to get rid of. But the turning point, I was standing in a grocery store, my damn feet hurt. And I remembered something else that I had read in The Great Pain Deception. And in that store, I started jumping up and down with my knees locked, slamming my feet on that hard floor as hard as I could, because I needed my brain to hear me, that I knew there was nothing wrong with my feet. And that's what ended the pain of that particular recurrence.
Wow. So there's something that you just said that I'd never thought about before. So you had said by 4 p.m. the next day, you felt 80% better. So you felt like maybe you had 80% belief. Is that just, do you think that's a coincidence, or do you think maybe there's something deeper to that? When people are healed 90%, they're probably 90% of belief there. If they're at 0%, they probably don't buy much into the whole thing. Even if they say that they do, the subconscious part of us, which you know, Sarno talked a lot about, and Ozanich talked a lot about, that they don't have any belief. Do you think there's any correlation there, or is that just an interesting thing that you just said?
as long as you think this is probably TMS, unless maybe I'm having a stroke. You know what I mean? As long as you hold on to one little thing that I think it's TMS, but maybe you can't get rid of all of it. This is a diagnosis that you need to accept 110%. If you accept it 110%, you will get rid of your pain or your TMS equivalent. Because I've had a couple others that other equivalents that I don't want to hijack this, but I think it's so important for people to know, because one of the things about TMS is that it will move. So I got it. When it comes to muscles, feet and legs, I realized years ago I had it in my back. I didn't even know that. I got that down. I can take care of that. So then TMS decided to get me some other way. I thought I had really. MRI, it doesn't matter why, they said you have a gallstone. So then I go, oh, a gallstone. Oh, my goodness, a gallstone. So I look up gallstones, and it says you can have heartburn. I've never had heartburn. As soon as I find out their gallstone can give you heartburn, I start getting heartburn.
Of course. This is a
heavenly day. What am I going to do about this giant gallstone? Go to a doctor. And the thing is, it is giant. It's the size of a blueberry. He said, that's not going to cause a problem. But then he goes, but I'd like to find out what's causing this heartburn. And then I'm going, well, so would I. And now I'm in horrible pain. And it's like, oh my God, it's killing me. It's driving me crazy. But he wants me to take pills. I hate pills. Don't want to take pills. Now at this point, I do hate the doctor. And goes, take these pills for 2 weeks to prove my diagnosis. 2 weeks later, it still hurts. I think I have proven it. Then he wants to do an endoscopy. Which happened to be a week after Joan Rivers died of one. Do I need to tell you what a freaking mental, state I was in?
Oh, yeah.
He does the endoscopy. It's a little bit red. And he goes, this is definitely it. And I say, I don't think it is now. And because it didn't work. I go to a different doctor. Sorry to make this the longest story on earth. But this doctor, he agreed with the other one. He's looked at all the stuff and he goes, yep, that's what it looks like. But there was something that he said. And he took time. I liked this doctor. And he said something about ulcerative colitis and they not knowing what it actually is. But when he said ulcerative, I remembered Dr. Sarno in his lecture saying, because he believed that ulcers were an equivalent and they seem to have disappeared now. No one has ulcers. Yep. Now we've all got this other thing, whatever that GERD is. And him saying that made me go, wait a minute. What if this is TMS? And I came home, and in one of the books, I can't remember whose book, Dr. somebody that starts with an S.
Schechter? Schubiner?
Not Schubiner. It's a shorter word. But whoever's book it is had three pages in there about gastric stomach ache, whatever we call it now. And I read those three pages, and I read those three pages. I went to the TMS wiki. I saw other people had also had acid reflux. Had acid reflux, and it was TMS. Then I read this guy's book. His three pages. It was acid reflux flux. I remembered Dr. Sarno saying that about the stomach, and I went, oh, ding, ding, ding. I got that it was TMS, and I got rid of it. If I actually had something wrong with me that I was supposed to be on pills for the rest of my life, they would have not gone away as soon as I understood what I had. But the minute I got it, it was gone the next day.
Did you ever think back, like pre-1995, and I'm saying since, but did you ever think back and maybe think of going all the way back to your teens, or your 20s, your 30s, or whatever, that now all these years that you can say, oh, when I had that time, that was probably TMS, right? Because it does have the nature to move around. Did you look back at all and think about issues you had when you were younger?
I had it in 1985. When I started doing stand-up, I was wearing a steel rib back brace from under my armpits to my hips. I can tell you I can still see every crack in the sidewalk between the comedy condo and the club in Columbia, South Carolina when I was working at the Punchline, because it hurt. I had to, it was a 5-minute walk. walk, I'd have to start out an hour before the show because I could only take baby steps to get to it, and it hurt so bad. I'd start 5 minutes, walk. The next act has got five more minutes in his set, and I'm starting my walk to the stage. And of course, I was told by several doctors that I had a curved spine. They always tell you you've got something, and then the pain gets worse. And the pain finally went away, and a few years later, I got it in my ankles. I am 100% certain that that was TMS.
You know, it's really I feel like I had asked Nicole Sachs, like, okay, so what's going to happen in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years in the medical establishment to change something? And she had said she felt like a big change in the tide was coming. And I mean, now maybe it's because I'm looking for it, but I feel like there are, I've had very little resistance when I talk about this to select types of people, but you know, there are certain people that just don't buy, you know, they just don't buy into the idea, you know, medical professionals and non-medical professionals. But I guess like, what'll it take for there to become a change, or how do you foresee it change? Because the problem is, like, if you do have an issue, doesn't matter what it is, your foot hurts, you have heartburn, whatever, you go to a doctor, they will find something. Unless you're a baby, like, they'll find something. Like, my four-year-old probably, when I would watch her walk down the stairs when she was two or three, and I'm like, oh, you just tore your ACL. Oh, you just tore your PCL, right? Like, just the way that, like, people are, like, they're physical. Everybody's got a problem. So, I mean, how can it be so that somebody doesn't go to a doctor and just get scared shitless because, like, because they'll find something, right? Like, it's easy.
Well, it's going to be a slow change in a way, but honestly, I think people like you, like Nicole, like Stephen Ray Ozanich, more and more and more people need to hear about it. And 20 years ago, when I first found out that I had it, it was Dr. Sarno and one of the guy, and I never found out who he was, that even believed in it. No one had heard of it, and no one had believed in it. So this is something that has to be awareness, and people have to choose what they want for their life. Because the biggest problem I see in not accepting it for one thing, the doctors aren't accepting it, and I think this is the biggest responsibility. They're not trained to accept it, and there's no money in TMS. Honestly, Dr. Sarno, when I went, charged $570 my life. So if I needed to see him again, he didn't charge. But I'd spend $100,000 trying to find out. So there's an awful lot of money. Our medical system is created to perpetuate illness. It is not perpetuated for wellness. It is perpetuated to keep that person sick. So there is that. And I don't know what to do about that other than awareness. And the people that I have met that aren't recovering, their identity is wrapped up in their illness. Who am I? I am a person in pain. And they won't let that go because that's who they are. And if you are getting too much out of it, now I know there people right now are going, that woman is a bitch. Why did you have her on the show? But because you have to be willing to look at yourself and see, and to take it into a more benign place, which is also inflammatory. I used to be incredibly overweight. Almost double what I am today. I used to weigh 275 pounds. One of the things that I feel that I personally, and this is for me, not everyone, but I had to take a look. I now believe with no question, I was that fat because I chose that fat. Mm-hmm. I kept that fat because that was my identity. Who am I? I am the fat person. I got too much out of it. People go, what are you, crazy? You're not. I got an awful lot out of it. Nobody liked me because I'm fat. Nobody. I can't have that job because I'm fat. I can't have that boyfriend because I'm fat. When without the fat, there was only one person who was going to be responsible, and it was going to be me. So the movement that we really want to create is a movement of personal responsibility about everything. Because once I was willing to be responsible for myself, I was able to realize I didn't need to sacrifice my health to that fat.
Yeah, you know, it's something I've never talked about that on this podcast. But when I, and it's been very gratifying to look back 2 years ago and know kind of where I was at in my life and my profession, when a lot of my, when my health issues really started to turn up and my back issues started and my knee and my sciatica and all the stuff that I have talked a lot about. But right around when this stuff really started to get bad, like I was in a frame of mind where I wasn't having as much success as I was used to in my job. And I was blaming everybody around me when like I was the guy, right? Like I was the guy causing the problem. And it's been an eye opener sort of in this like excavation of my own personality in the last year, just to say, like, I'm so glad that you said it in that way. Nobody's ever said it to me in that way, but the way that you say it is exactly how I feel. And I was just talking to somebody this morning when they had said something. It was one of these TMS groups again, and they were saying about, they were talking about TMS being a distraction. I can't remember what their story was, but anecdotally, I remember, and I hope my wife will listen to this because she loves your background so much, and because I hope that she actually likes my show. But I was thinking back. I actually went and had, I had surgery. I had shoulder surgery. Like this was a T, it was again, like I would have one problem stop and then one problem would start. And like the shoulder was something that I believe now looking back that it was a TMS equivalent. I had surgery for it, but you know what it got me is it got me 6 weeks in a sling where I didn't have to commute to work. I didn't have to sit in traffic. I didn't have to take care of my kid. I didn't have to cook dinners, right? Like all these things that are, that just pile on top of you in life. And I, instead of just dealing with it or, you know, trying to figure out a way to compromise or saying, hey, I need help with this or whatever the case is. Like I decided, okay, my mind will send that pain to my shoulder. I need to get it fixed. And she's a supportive wife, right? So she took care of me and I didn't have any responsibility. And then guess what? The day before I was to get cleared for all activity by my surgeon, my back spasm happened and that was it. You know?
Yeah, that is not a coincidence at all. And I think that willingness, because you don't want to admit that that stuff, you know, it's like personally, you know, it's like almost embarrassing. But you just twigged something for me that I hadn't, it's clear as the nose in your face, but I hadn't actually been aware of it until this conversation. Because the other thing that was happening when my TMS was really bad on the Rosie O'Donnell show, this is going to come out wrong, but I didn't want to be a producer. I have never wanted to be a producer. I was a stand-up comic. I had always wanted to be a performer. But stand-up comics, there's two tracks. Well, there's three. There's the one where you stay a comic always, but you're living on the road. And I'd been 40 weeks a year on the road for quite some time, and I was burned out. You either go the direction of, you know, Rosie and Ray Romano and, you know, the guys everybody knows about, or there's another very respectable track, which is, you know, producing and writing. And a lot of brilliant comics, you know, John Rigi, he ended up being a showrunner for 30 Rock, best comic I ever knew. So it was a respected and a wonderful break. And I will be grateful to Rosie, you know, for the rest of my life. Thank God, because, you know, I have had a very successful career, but it wasn't the one I wanted. And that distracted me because the first couple of months on the Rosie show, I wasn't happy. I'm sorry. I had the best job. I had a dream job, but you know, I missed doing stand up. And with what you just said, having that pain was a fantastic distraction. By the time I got cured from my TMS, I had then found the rewards of being in the job, you know, and you know, I didn't hate it for 6 years. But in the beginning, it was really hard. And I will bet you that that was part of why I perpetuated that pain, because I was getting a wonderful distraction from that pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can, you know, I see in a lot of these people that I talk to, I get messages regularly from people around the world, from Sweden, from like different places around the world that say, I'm having this pain. What do you think's causing it? And, you know, we kind of DM back and forth about things in their life and stuff like that. And some people are very accepting and they, you know, they'll go down one path, and other people are like, no, you know, that's not me. I'm going to go and get another surgery. But then I watch them on their social media and it's like all about their kids and it's all about their husband. There's never anything about them. And so my thought is like, okay, I mean, it's staring me in the face and I'm trying to tell you, but you know, some people just aren't ready. Steve Ozanich talks so much about, you know, you have to be ready and you have to be willing. Like that's the,
yes,
that's the thing, right? You've got to submit. That's got to be who you are. So, you know, you went around and you saw all these doctors and you're on 2020 and you had said, I forgot what the exact quote is, but it was basically like, this is it. you know, it's out there, but this is all that I have left. And then a week later, you were completely cured, and you said you didn't think that it would be that direct. Like, was it tough for you to submit and just say, okay, maybe I've been thinking about this completely wrong? Or was it like you've been to hell and back with this stuff, and now you're ready to hear anything out there?
It was the hell and back, because I was ready. And I am not, I am a person that can, you know, like when he said, can I accept that I was somatizing pain? The minute somebody could identify that word, I can accept anything I need to accept if it's going to, if then I can have the life I want. I think it is... you know, no matter what happens to me, I am somebody who is, this is not going to win. I will not be defeated. I don't care, even when something really horrible happens. And with the TMS, I didn't know that there was an opportunity to say that I won't be defeated, because I thought I was, you know, what the medical field wants you to believe. Although I always tell my doctors, and I judge whether a doctor is good or not by whether he can go, oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I had gone back to the guy who did my shoulder surgery once I, you know, because again, like he cleared me for all activity, but the day before my back spasmed, and I had asked, like, this was my mid back, and I had said, like, you know, what's the deal with my back? Like, it just doesn't feel right. It's like, it's so hard, and it's stuck in the, it feels like cinder blocks are under my skin, and my neck had not hurt. But he said, and this reminds me of the heartburn story you were telling earlier, he goes, oh, this is coming from your neck. And then the rest of the day, my neck hurt, and for months, yes, my neck was on fire.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a person with TMS, I went to, do you know Arlene Feinblatt?
Yes, and I need to send an email to her, because I really would love to interview her too.
She is so amazing. She is the first therapist that worked directly with him, and she was my therapist. She's absolutely amazing. And now I forgot why I brought her up though.
Let's see here. Well, I was talking about the doctor telling me about my neck, and then it started to hurt.
She told me that I am not, one thing for me not to do is ever by going to WebMD. I had it for a full week until I went to a doctor, because of course I didn't have it. She said, if I pick up a prescription, I should not read the side effects. Yep. Because I'll get them. I should have somebody else read them. And if they see me have them, you know, to do it that way. But you know, anything I hear, I can make myself have. So I'm very careful about that now. And anything I get, anything, I now ask, I will go to a doctor, because I need to go to the doctor to find out. And they're going to give you a diagnosis. But for example, this is sexy, very, very, this is going to make me sound very hot. One of my other TMS equivalents was the overactive bladder.
Yeah.
Nothing nicer than that. So I go to a doctor. I'm immediately diagnosed and handed a pile of pills that with all kinds of side effects. And that's all they want to do is maintain you on pills. Then you have to go every 3 months. It's horrible. So I take the pill for a couple of weeks. And I go, I'm not liking this. And at this point, I am at everything is TMS. So then I think, could this be TMS? Well, of course it could be TMS. So the point is that the pills didn't work. And that was part of it, told me, because I thought, well, if I really had an overactive bladder, then the pills should stop the overactive bladder. Yep. Just like if I really had that stomach thing, the pills that were supposed to prove the diagnosis, well, they didn't, because I didn't have it. So I tried the pills for a couple of weeks and went, no, it's not working anyway. And I decided this must be, that's actually, I went back to Arlene because I went, I don't have time to, you know, mess around with this one, because this is not pleasant. Sure enough, all I needed to do was accept the diagnosis and talk to it. I used to, and I won't say what I used to say to my pain, because you know you talk to your pain.
Yep.
I used to swear a blue streak. I would put sailors to shame. And then one time I was talking to Steve Ozanich, and he said, you know, maybe you don't have to be that harsh. maybe you don't have to be quiet, because I told him what I actually say. And that was a little eye-opener. So you know what I say to it now? I literally go, don't bother me. I'm on to you, yeah. So don't bother me. And it works incredibly well for almost everything.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. And it's funny you say that thing about the sailor. I was I was doing sit-ups in my garage yesterday. I'm like, I'm back training and weightlifting and plan on competing this fall and stuff like that. But I was doing some sit-ups, like, just as a part of like a quick little cardio workout, and my stomach spasmed, like really locked up. Like I had like somebody's fist was in the middle of my stomach and they're just squeezing all my abs and stuff. And I sit and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what's going on? And then I just yell, fuck you. And then it went away.
It's fascinating. I mean, that's where the people who can get this, and anyone can recover if they choose to. Anyone. And it can recover from TMS. And I would say so conservatively that 50% of multiple times, over and over and over. It's like, oops, there's the TMS. Well, you know, you're gone.
Okay, so hold on. So the software cut out for a second. So you said, I would bet 50%, and then it cut you out. So what did you just say?
I said that I think 50% conservatively of people in pain in this country have TMS. And until they accept the diagnosis, they will stay in pain, because if it's TMS, nothing is going to fix it, because it'll move, it'll come back, because its purpose is to stay. But once you accept it, you know, like, you know, these new, like, fibromyalgia, I know that most people I've talked about in the TMS community, they don't think that that actually, that it is always TMS, but the pharmaceutical companies have a drug for it. So as long as they can make money on that, they're going to continue to promote this as a diagnosis. I really think that there is, it's not that I'm saying that every doctor knows this. They believe what they were trained in school. So I'm not saying that we are surrounded by, you know, the evil machinations of a profit-driven system. And yet we are.
I agree. When people jump all over doctors and say that they're all a sham and why can't they just teach it this way, I'm going, look, like, if you went to school for 8 years and you practiced something for 25, yeah, good luck changing your mind on anything. It doesn't matter what it is.
They don't know it. They don't know either. They are as trapped in this as we are as a society. So I think when you asked for me to come on this, I kind of do think it's anybody that wants to talk to me about TMS, you know, sit next to you on the subway or wherever you live or whatever you're doing, the biggest way that those of us who know that we have it and have recovered, the biggest thing we can do is talk to everybody. I tell waiters, I get people's eyes rolling. It's like, oh my God, she's going at it again. But every time somebody tells me they're in pain, I just go, just so you know, I just did this at a party 2 weeks ago. He avoided me for the rest of the night. But I got it. I've got to at least bring it up. Because as many people say, I'm going to, you know, I think I'll walk to this side of the room, as more people go, tell me more. And I know a lot of people have decided to go ahead and recover because they found out that it was possible.
And, you know, I will say that, like, so I saw 25 medical professionals, but on the 24th one, I drove 22 hours round trip to have my neck have a procedure done on it. He said that this would work because this is what's going on. And then by the time that I was an hour away from his office driving back, I felt worse, like pretty much worse off. I spent thousands of dollars. And then I went and saw another doctor 3 or 4 weeks later. And this was kind of similar to the Giants doctor, but for me, it was the University of Washington Huskies football doctor. I come in there, I've got EMG, like positive EMG tests that say that there's nerve lesions and I've got problems in my back and my neck and all this kind of stuff. She examines those. She does a really thorough examination of me. She has me sit down on the table and I'm just going, you know, here we go. And, you know, this, she's very respected. And she said, tell me about what's going on in your life. And that, like, it completely changed. That was what led me to find Sarno's book and find the 2020 special, all this kind of stuff. Because this one doctor had really, maybe saying the courage is too dramatic, but the fact that all these, that there's just this particular model, what's going on with your neck, what's going on with your back, your knees, your shoulders, whatever. And she would have had just as much of an opportunity to say that kind of stuff. But instead she said, what's going on in your life? Tell me what your stress levels are like. What are your kids like? How's your job? Like, and she had never, I emailed her months later and told her, here's all the stuff I've learned in the last few months. Thank you so much for essentially saving my, you know, I wasn't going to do anything to myself, right? I had no suicidal thoughts. It wasn't any of that, but she gave me my life back in the sense that I got to be the kind of dad I wanted, the husband that I wanted. I got to be a weightlifter again. I got to ride my motorcycle again. Like, these were all things that I counted on as being out of my life forever. And I had just,
right, you got to live the life you want. And that's what living is.
Yeah. Well, she said, I've never heard of Dr. Sarno, but all the things you're telling me are exactly in line with my thinking. And she said, there are a lot of people that their stressors or their problems in their life manifest as physical issues, and a lot of people don't want to accept it, but that's how it is. And she had recommended a sports psychologist and said, you're an athlete, you're a high performer, you know how stressful this kind of stuff can be, but you might just be interpreting it incorrectly. And it was like, you know, from the heavens, right? Was this woman, Dr. Kimberly Harmon, and I'll shout her name as you know, as far as the eye can see, is the best doctor in Seattle, like, hands down.
Yes, and those, because the doctor I went, I think it was a Dr. Alpert, just internal medicine, but the one that made me realize that my stomach, he wasn't even believing in it, but he didn't go, oh, it can't be. He went, well, you know, the link between emotional things and the stomach is well documented. And I forgot that he'd said that, and that kind of led to it. But that is, your most important question is, how do we change that? And that is another thing for every TMS recoverer, it's not even a word, to talk to every doctor you go to. Every doctor that I go to has to understand that I have this, you know, and I'll go in and go, there might not be anything wrong with me. I have TMS. This is what it is. I make up symptoms. So I'm just checking. And as the doctors hear about it, they're not hearing about it in med school. Let them hear about it from us.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so wrapping up, I guess the last thing that I want to touch on and ask you about, like, and I don't even know if this is a thing. I don't know if it exists. So you may just say there's no such thing and that could be the end of it. But is there any such thing as, you know, once people kind of get through this and they have their lives back, and there's a lot of people I know that do have their lives back, is there anything that you can say preventative-wise? Like, okay, now I understand what I have. I'm healed or I'm close to healed. Preventatively speaking, what can people, and even people that are still in the abyss and they're listening to this and they don't have hope, because there's a lot of those listeners too, you know, what's some preventative care that they can sort of do for themselves? Is it journaling? Is it just thinking a little bit differently? What would you say is a preventative thing that people could do?
Well, for me, I know I've heard a lot about people succeeding well with journalism, journal that word and stuff. But for me, it is maintaining openness, just really always questioning yourself. Because if you're a person that can create TMS, you're a person that I believe can't always trust yourself. I can't always trust myself. You know, my foot hurts, you know, but I need to know, did I create that? So I think it's constantly looking at yourself and practicing personal responsibility, and knowing that TMS, I think, is it's never gone. It requires vigilance. TMS can always crop up, and you can take care of it every single time, 100% of the time. When I travel, I never go anywhere without, Steve Ozanich has a short book. It's a little tiny book, top 10,
Healing Discoveries of Dr. Sarno.
Yes. Yeah. And I bring that with me. I was in Barbados a couple years ago, and I went, after a couple hours, I went, you know what, let me just take a break. And I read the book, and I was fine the rest of the vacation. So just always be aware of reviewing, and always be aware that any MS, anything
can be. TMS.
Anything.
Yeah.
You know, because once you work through the muscle, you know, because he had originally, it was muscles, nerves, and tendons. But I know, again, overactive, attractive bladder and a stomach thing were TMS. So I know that anything can be TMS.
Yeah, I'm with you. Jeanette, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for jumping on the show with me. We went almost a full hour, and I can't thank you enough. You know, the 2020 special has tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube. There's a few different versions of it, and some of the versions exist out there with Barbara Walters closing out the segment and saying, you know, if your pain's not psychological, these physical therapy exercises will really work for you. I used to get back spasms, and now I just do some exercises and I don't get them anymore. And I was just thinking, like, you're missing the point. But
yeah, and you're undercutting it, but please just don't listen to her.
Right.
And to all of us who are pain-free without any treatment, they're now herds of us, which is, again, not the right word, but of people who have recovered by understanding that what we have, because doing those physical therapy exercises can in fact perpetuate your pain.
Yeah, well, and if you look at the number of Amazon reviews between all of Sarno's books, all of Ozanich's books, plus Nicole Sachs's book, I think there's somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 reviews, and I think 4.8 or 4.9 out of 5 is the median score, meaning these are the people that have been healed. Like, those are just the people that have gone through the trouble to go to Amazon and write a review, and I would say maybe that's 1% or fewer of people that have ever bought the book and have actually gone through the trouble of going on and writing a review. So I feel like we're talking hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of people that that have walked away cured. So when you say herds, I think it's a big herd.
I think it is too. And I think it is so many things that people sometimes don't even realize because it doesn't fall within what is the pureness of TMS in the muscles. I think panic attacks. I think overweight. When I sat, and I'll stop talking, but that's hard to get me to do. But when I sat in his lecture back there in 1998, I actually said to people that applied more to weight than anything I had ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to almost anything. And I think whoever you said that it's being human, it is a part of a human condition. And we've barely scraped the surface of understanding who we are, and the key to finding out who we are is not ascribing to thought patterns or schools. It's to stay open and listen above all to what happens in your gut.
All right, with that, Jeanette, this was awesome. Thank you so much for jumping on the show.
Thank you.